Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. 710 here on News Radio 92.3, broadcasting from the USS Richard McCool, LPD 29, on our way to Pensacola from Panama City yesterday. And, man, it has been an incredible learning experience to see how the ship operates, to see navigating your way through the doors, through the ladders, seeing the ship empty at night, kind of a ghost town because it's not loaded up with Marines on their way to an amphibious landing. Also, a bunch of Navy Junior ROTC kids who are here from Pace and Milton and Alabama. In fact, they're actually here with me right outside of the bridge where we're broadcasting from the ship. I'm going to play an interview with their coordinator here in just a second, but can I get a big hello from all of the Junior ROTC folks here? Make it loud. One, two, three. Yes, love it. So exciting. So this is Brigham Keefe. We talked with him yesterday. He is the area coordinator for District 16. All right, we're here with, tell me your name and your role, your position.
Brigham Keefe. I'm the Area 16 manager for Navy JROTC, and that's all the high schools that have a Navy JROTC elective program in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and the Panhandle of Florida area.
So that's what, a couple dozen schools?
It's 27. Okay. 27 schools, and it just so happens that those 27 schools, it's up to the high school when they're applying for the JROTC program, and they chose the Navy.
Okay. So they could have been Army, they could have been... Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, we're a Navy area, so we'll take it.
Absolutely.
So you have kids. Tell me some of the schools in Escambia and Santa Rosa County that are represented here on board today.
All right. So we have Pace. We have Pine Forest. We have Escambia. We have Northview. We have Booker T. Washington. We have Milton. We have them all.
Wow. Yeah. And I know a couple of the schools, it's two, but how many are there from each school? Does it vary?
It's one per, except for Milton and Navarre. We have Navarre here, too. So Milton and Navarre. And Pace actually got the same two per.
Okay, so it's one per school except for a couple of them.
And we just had some extra, so I rotated back to the top of the list.
And so it's what, the top Junior ROTC student at each school of the ones who want to come?
Yeah, so we left it up. I left that up to the instructors, but, you know, I said, hey, this is very prestigious. So most of them chose their commanding officers or executive officers.
And so what's the purpose of them coming on board other than it's awesome? How does it fit into the overall goals of having them be in Junior ROTC?
So it's just the opportunity, you know, the lifeblood of our program is, you know, orientation trips where we get them out to colleges and they get briefed in their ROTC programs at the college level, or bring them to military installations where they visit, you know, air traffic control and they get to ride in the aircraft simulators. And this is just another addition to that. But what makes this very special is these Tiger cruises are very few and far between. And what's extra special about this one is usually when a Tiger cruise is done, the ship has been already commissioned. This one is not even commissioned yet. You know, it's a brand new warship, and the cadets are getting to do this. So it's extra special for all of us, for sure.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from them so far?
Oh, hey, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life. I'm like, you know, it's, man, and like I said earlier, you know, we talk about society and how the state of society looks pretty bleak. But we see kids like this, and that's the future of America. So, man, I'm proud of them, and I'm just glad we got to be able to do this.
And for a lot of people, they may not understand, like, what Junior ROTC even is. For one thing, it's a class period, right? They go to history, they go to English, they go to math, and then they go to Junior ROTC as a class, right? Almost like a career academy.
Yep, absolutely. It's definitely it's an elective, and we always preach academics come first. You know, so JROTC can't do anything for you if you don't pass your core classes. So it is an elective, and, you know, all they have to do to join the program is go see their high school counselor, you know.
And even though it's military affiliated, it's not a feeder for the military, right?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's a common misconception. Hey, you know, and my kid, if he joins ROTC or JROTC in high school, he's going to have to go directly to the front line and sign up for the military. The instructors are not recruiters. All our main focus is on is creating an informed and responsible citizen, either ready for the workforce, ready for college, or if the military, if they want to go to the military, then we can certainly help them out. But that's not our primary goal. So.
Well, I just want to say thank you for helping create better citizens, building democracy one student at a time, and exposing these kids to something that they have never, ever seen before in their lives. I'm sure it's blowing their minds.
It is. Like I said, once in a lifetime opportunity. And I do appreciate you guys putting the information out there on the radio, because that clears up some of those misconceptions.
Yeah.
And the more we get the word out, you know, you got students that are on the fence sometimes and whether or not they want to take the elective. And if they hear something like this, it might steer them to it. So I appreciate it.
You're enjoying yourself too, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes, for sure. For sure.
Thank you for the time, and thanks for what you do.
All right, thank you, too. I appreciate it.
And by the way, Regan is actually here, and he corrected me on his name. So I appreciate that for sure. We're going to talk to a couple of the students here in just a second. Before that, we got John Pickens back in Pensacola with traffic on the fives.
Still no accidents to let you know about right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound, heading toward Highway 29, it's starting to back up just a little bit. Not much of a delay there. But other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So after I talked with Regan last night, I caught up with two of the students who are here with the Navy Junior ROTC program. One's actually here in the room with me. The other one is not, but they're one's from Pace High, one's from Roseland, Alabama. Hold on just a second. Let me cue this up properly.
All right, we got a couple of Navy Junior ROTC students here. One who is from Pace High, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And what's your name?
Justin Eiler.
And what made you want to come on the Tiger Cruise today?
From my school, I was personally selected to come out here and experience this. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here in JROTC. It doesn't come very often. It's a very rewarding experience.
And if I remember correctly, even though you're in junior ROTC, you don't plan to go into the military, is that right?
Yes, sir. I'm planning on doing business instead of going into the military. Nothing wrong with the military, just not for me.
So what made you want to get into junior ROTC, especially as somebody who kind of knew in advance you didn't want to do the military?
When I first joined JROTC, I wasn't completely sure on what it was, but as I started getting into it, I really fell in love with it, and that's why I've stuck it out, because it's really brought a lot of great sides out of me, and it's really built up my character and my leadership skills, and it's really prepared me for the real world.
So it's been a tremendous benefit to you personally?
Oh, yes, sir, definitely.
And what do you think about the cruise as we're kind of getting towards nighttime on day one?
It's been really awesome to see everything that's inside the ship. Never really been inside of a moving ship that's like actually being used, and so it's really interesting.
And tell me your name. You're from Robertsdale High School, is that right?
Yes, sir. My name is Alex Prather. I'm from Robertsdale High School.
And what got you into junior ROTC?
I joined to learn about leadership and citizenship and just develop as a person.
And do you plan to go into the military?
I do not. I plan on going to college to be a forensic psychologist and then work for the FBI.
Oh, okay. To help solve what, profiling on behavioral crimes? Or does that, you want to go catch CSI and catch killers and things?
Yes, that's correct. I want to work the FBI and just figure out why criminals do what they do.
So what has Junior ROTC done for you, in your opinion?
It's been great and developed me as a person. I've learned a lot of leadership traits, leadership characteristics, and just how to change the environment you're in.
And what do you think of being on board this ship?
It's an amazing experience. I love it.
Anything that particularly sticks out to you that's kind of wowed you the most so far?
So far, the crew has been really loving, and they show us everything that they do in the end of the day, and I mean, I just enjoy it.
Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for the time, and best of luck solving crimes, man. That's good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And that has been 100% true. The crew has been amazing. I mean, they're all friendly, they're all willing, they're all helpful and lively. In fact, I've got a couple of interviews coming up with some of the crew that you're just going to, it's very, very, very cool. Also, I am in the middle of having my first ever official Navy breakfast. Last night was barbecue. I didn't figure that fully counted, but I've got breakfast from the mess with cheese grits and biscuit and sausage and a croissant and, the coffee, which is... Navy coffee, so good. They know how to make coffee for sure. So Andrew McKay broadcasting to you live from the USS Richard McCool on our way to Pensacola in the Gulf, underway, a first ever for our station. I don't know, it's possibly a first ever to do a live radio show from a United States Naval ship on its way to its commissioning. I'm Andrew McKay in the Gulf. We'll be back in just a minute.
So I know sometimes people think, like, I'll just sell the home myself, or I'll just buy it myself, and they don't want to use a realtor. I understand, okay? But let me give you some thoughts about why maybe it's useful to go to a realtor, especially one as great as Christina Leavenworth, okay? Obviously, you know that she sells a lot of homes, 175 homes last year. You hear me talking about her all the time. When the market was hot and it was very easy to sell homes, she could help you by getting the best possible deal as quickly as possible. When the market is slow, more like it is now, when people are uncertain about interest rates or when they're not sure what's going to happen with that market or the economy or the election or anything else, or, you know, what affects the price of the home? Is it change of station for the military? Are we in season or not for that? What about for, you know, school, things like that? And even understanding, like, what could happen near that home, behind that home, or even with a new home, you might think, why would I use a realtor for that? Because they can get the builder to buy down your points, for example, and work with you because builders are motivated. The point is, having a realtor gets you the best of all possible outcomes. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are phenomenal. 723-9158, or look her up online, Christina Leavenworth.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The most famous verse in all the Bible is famous for several reasons. It's famous because it's rich with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's famous because it models godly giving in an amazingly sacrificial way. It's famous because it explains the way to heaven as well as the avoidance of eternal hell. Have you figured out which verse I'm talking about? If you thought John 3:16, then you're right. It powerfully states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you have never confessed your sin and called on Christ to save you, I urge you to trust Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Today at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
On News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and if you're just joining us, boy, what a treat. We are actually not in Pensacola, not even on land. We are on board the USS Richard McCool LPD-29, the amphibious landing dock that is transiting from Panama City over to Pensacola for the commissioning that's going to take place a week from Saturday. We've got Navy Junior ROTC here watching the broadcast. We've got all kinds of sailors moving in and about and clanking and making noise. And if you've never been on board a ship before, and I had not, one thing you takes a little getting used to is it always sounds like somebody's hitting somebody with a hammer. There's always something noisy going on, and that's because of all the clanging of the doors opening and shutting and locking, and that mechanism is very loud. We've got Dave Greenwood is on the line with us. He's the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County, and this beach report is brought to you by All Seasons Service Network. We guarantee to always provide the best service in the area. Hey, Dave, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew, happy Seafaring Friday to you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. What are we looking at for this weekend? I know we had a little bit of rain out in the Gulf this morning. What's the conditions looking like on the beach for today?
Well, for today and throughout the weekend, same thing. Hit and miss showers scattered all around. We've got a southeast wind that's blowing steady, so we've got a little bit of surf in the surf zone. So it's a little bumpy near shore.
Yeah, we were seeing, 2 to 3 foot foot waves yesterday, so not a big deal for a ship this size, but in mild, you think we're probably flying yellow flags, is that right?
Yes, that appears to be the fly condition going today and into the weekend.
Very good. Anything else you want us to know today, Dave?
Well, just when you come to the beach, have a safe weekend because this is the last big holiday of 2024 for our beach season. You know, it's the unofficial end of summer is September, Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a lot of people, a lot of traffic. Use caution, sunscreen, you know, best place to swim is in a lifeguarded area.
You would think after 10 years I'd know the answer to this question by heart, but I don't. Do you downstaff after Labor Day? Is that right? How does it change?
Yeah, well, we have, unfortunately, we've had to scale down our staffing because school starts. You know, school's been going on for a few weeks now. So,
right.
So unfortunately, you know, we lose staff to that. But when staff is available, we put them to work, and we'll have staff out this Saturday and Sunday and into Monday.
Very good. Dave Greenwood is Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, as always, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for giving us good information. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Smooth sailing to you, Andrew.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it.
Picture this. It's a hot, humid summer day and your AC stops working. What do? You call All Seasons Service Network. All Seasons has been locally owned and operated since 1967, offering 24/7 emergency services with multiple technicians ready at all times for your future HVAC needs. From residential to commercial, All Seasons provides installations, new construction builds, and any other kind of HVAC needs. Visit allseasonsnow.com to schedule an appointment or call 850-434-0384. Call today.
We're back on the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Andrew McKay on board the USS Richard McCool. Sorry, I was distracted a little bit with both of our owners in the room. Dave Hoxing, who made all of this possible in working with the crew, an incredible feat of technological accomplishment and persistence on his part and their part. And Mary Hoxing, our other owner, who loves to be on the radio, but I will not put her on the radio this morning because she's a there's nothing threatens her more than talking on the radio, which is ironic for the owner of a radio station cluster. Back in Pensacola, we've got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still no accidents to let you know about, but I am seeing some delays if you're on Highway 90. Either going east or westbound in both directions, especially around the Pea Ridge Elementary area, you're going to see some delays. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom on land. I can say it that way with our headlines. David?
Well, former President Donald Trump says IVF costs would be covered by insurance if he's elected. He was speaking last night at a campaign event in La Crosse, Wisconsin, said if he's elected, he would require the government or insurance companies to pay for in vitro fertility treatments. Another visitor has reportedly died at the Grand Canyon. The National Park Service says a 60-year-old North Carolina man was found dead Wednesday near a remote trail along the Colorado River. Officials say he was on a solo backpacking trip and had been reported on Tuesday. And Columbus Blue Jackets star Johnny Gaudreau has died. Apparently, he was killed in a bicycle accident last night in New Jersey. His brother Matthew was also killed. This was not far from their hometown. They were apparently struck by a vehicle. Those deaths being confirmed by the National Hockey League and the New Jersey State Police. Gaudreau was signed to the Blue Jackets in the NHL in 2022.
All right. Thanks so much, David. We have a special treat for you right now. Mel McRae of our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, the Cat Pack Morning Show, is on with me. She's been on the ship same exact time as I have. And your thoughts, Mel?
Wow. This is my first time on a Navy ship, so it's just the whole experience has been pretty mind-blowing. But it's been really neat to get the tour, get the behind the scenes. I think I heard you mention it earlier, but the doors.
Yeah.
I'm like,
everywhere is just
lost.
A door.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm lost. I don't even know how to get back to my room.
So how many times did you go the wrong way trying to get back to your room?
I lost count.
More times than you did it right, right?
Exactly.
I know.
More times than I'd like to admit. I kind of, now that we're probably leaving in a couple hours, I'm
right.
Starting to get the
exactly. The same. Like I can get from our bunk to this spot behind the bridge and back and to the deck outside But other than that,
well, it's very fat kid of me, but I do know how to get to the galleys.
That's good.
But that's where the coffee is.
And the coffee is fantastic. Anything else you noticed particularly, or anything surprised you? How big it was?
Yes. I mean, pictures never do anything justice
right. Until
you see it up close and personal. But the biggest thing that stuck out to me is getting the opportunity to witness this crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you felt it yesterday, even at the Steel Beach party that they were doing. You can tell how much of a bond these crew members have built, because it's been years of preparing the ship in order for the commissioning and everything to happen and for it to be ready to launch.
The culture on this
ship
is incredible. It really is.
And I don't know if it's like that on every ship, because, again, it's my first time, but it's been impressive.
We've got some indications that it maybe isn't always like that, but, you know, so good leadership, good staff, and, you know, a deliberate effort to make that happen, I think, is definitely for sure. Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. We pulled up to more the 65-foot transit boat up to the back like it was a dinghy.
Yes.
I mean, it was nothing compared to that was, you know, sideways. You still had plenty of room on the beam to go on either side for this massive ship that we pulled up to yesterday.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
One of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class.
Vice President Kamala Harris gives the first interview of her presidential campaign on CNN, talking about President Biden ending his campaign.
I asked him, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yes." And then that's how I learned about it.
She says it would benefit the American public to put a Republican in her cabinet if elected. Former President Trump says if he's elected, fertility treatments will be paid for.
Your government will pay for, or your insurance company will be mandated to pay for, all costs associated with IVF treatment, fertilization for women.
Trump there in Potterville, Michigan. He campaigns in Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 77 degrees right now. It is sunny this morning, beautiful morning in Pensacola. We do have an update on that fatal shooting overnight in Pensacola. Police now have one suspect in custody. Spokesman Mike Wood says their name and charges will be released later today. Officers were called to 11th and Bars Streets about 2:45 this morning, where they found two people with gunshot wounds. One man was taken to the hospital. He died from his injuries. He has not yet been identified. A female victim was also taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries and is reportedly in stable condition. That investigation is ongoing. Looks like Escambia County's Wedgewood Community Center will be reopening next week. It's been closed since the fatal shooting there that killed two people, injured five others late last month. After the shooting, the county took control of the center and closed it down due to security concerns, but now it'll be reopening this coming Tuesday after school programs resuming in January. Eight people are charged with trying to meet up with a 14-year-old girl for sex. This is after a sting operation in Santa Rosa County last week.
If you have children, please, for the love of God, check their cell phones and check their accounts, because you have people like this that are coming for them. And make no mistake about it, if that was a 14-year-old girl they were meeting, they were up to no good. Especially two guys bringing handguns.
Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson from a press conference held yesterday afternoon. The suspects include men from Pensacola, Milton, Pace, and the surrounding area. There's also 11 more suspects that still have charges pending based on their communication with the undercover officers. Johnson says he's, quote, filling up the Milton Hilton, but he says it's just the tip of the iceberg, and for every person they catch, he says there's probably 500. That they don't. Now, the Escambia School District still working to ban students that started fights last week at the Pine Forest High School football game from attending future events. District Safety Director Kyle Kinzer tells Channel 3 that safety is their top priority.
Day to day, though, we have meetings routinely to make sure that we are prepared, because it's a big event. When you're welcoming 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 folks to one of our stadiums, that's not just something you just wake up and say, hey, let's invite everybody here. There has to be a process, working with vendors, working with outside law enforcement, working with concessions, working with parents, working with students to make sure that all comes together.
And the sheriff's office and school district now working on ways to increase security at future games. Pensacola city officials say repairs are expected on the damaged homage to 9/11 monument at the MLK Jr. Plaza later on this fall. Right now, there's no word on how the damage occurred, whether it was vandalism or natural wear and tear. But luckily, the city says the damaged pieces were found by William Powell, who's a friend of the artist.
Mr. Powell knows the artist and the artist's family. So we believe they're in a secure area and are under good stewardship right now. So if not, then, you know, obviously we would have taken those and stored them somewhere here within a city facilities. But we're good with where they are right now.
Pensacola spokesman Jason Wheeler, he says Powell notified the city of the damage back in March, and the city has reached out to the artist to make repairs. But the artist is currently in a very remote part of Costa Rica, so we'll have to wait until he can return to make the repairs. It's 7:35 now at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Got one accident to let you know about right now. It says Packwood Drive and East Kingsfield Road. No road blockage there. I'm seeing just a minor delay. Also, I-10 eastbound, if you're coming from Pine Forest, the exit all the way to 29, we're starting to see a little backup there. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a chance of rain as we go through the afternoon and morning hours. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High today near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Saturday, another 40% chance of rain. High near 90. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Keeping our rain chances around through Sunday with a 50% chance of rain. High near 90 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. It is 77 degrees right now in Pensacola, 77 also in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. And taking a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Commerce Department at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time will release its Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, a sprawling measure of what consumers are paying for a variety of goods and services, as well as their spending preferences. For the July reading, the Dow Jones Consensus sees little change in recent trends, 0.2% monthly increases in both headline and core prices, and respective gains of 2.5% and 2.7% annually. A federal judge in Texas has ruled that the lawsuit filed by Elon Musk's ex against Media Matters can proceed to trial on April 7th. The suit was filed in November after Media Matters published a report showing that hateful content on X appeared next to online ads from companies like Apple, IBM, and Disney. Futures are moderately higher ahead of the key inflation data later this morning. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 243, the NASDAQ down 39. That's Your Money Now.
It's 77 right now in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. And breaking news anytime it happens, I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite band. This week, it's Shenanigans. Not just a band, an experience. Since 2007, they've traveled all around the world, and they're back at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, Tuesday night. Her hair was kind of curly, went to her house.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Navarre Farmers Market Combs of Honey is Saturday from 10 till 2 at the corner of 87 and Segura. Explore and enjoy the wide range of products. GetRelaxing.com for more. The Greater Pensacola Commissioning Committee is proud to welcome the USS Richard McCool to NAS. Take a free tour next Monday through Wednesday afternoons. Get info at PensacolaNavyLeague.org. Submit your nonprofit event at NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio 92.3, working for you. Informative.
We're giving you your live election coverage.
Rick Scott running away with it. 87% of the vote at this point. Matt Gaetz running away.
Local.
We're speaking to Robert Bender, the election supervisor in Escambia County.
I think it's going really well.
Dependable.
Board of County Commissioners, District 1, Steve Stroberger beating Jeff Bergosh.
Up to the minute, down to the wire.
And then District 4, we had Ashley Hoffberger.
Election coverage that's informative, local, dependable. News Radio 92.3.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your boat.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing a big poster, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Yes, it is the Meet Your Tenant Commands feature that we do every single Friday at this time. A little special this time because we're doing it where I am on the ship. I am on the USS Richard McCool in the Gulf in transit from Panama City over to Pensacola. Joining me on the phone, we're going to have Captain Scott Janik of the Naval School of Aviation Safety in just one second. I do want to let you know that the Meet Your Tenant Commands feature is brought to you by Warrior Beer Company on Sorrento Road. Warrior Beer Company, we've got your six, and they do have some outstanding brews. Captain Scott Janik, call sign Mongo. He is the commanding officer of Naval School of Aviation Safety, located onboard NAS Pensacola. Mongo, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, good morning. Great to have you via satellite. He's great and underway. Love it.
Oh man, it really is wild. I still, it's gonna sink in like 3 hours after we're off the air that we're actually doing this. It's kind of amazing. So let's start. I want to start with this, and I may have mentioned this before, but it is well worth mentioning again. This entire feature, if you appreciate it, Mongo was one of the key people to make it happen. He pushed me and reminded me that we were trying to do it, that I had been wanting to do it, and he has helped facilitate it every step of the way. So he gets absolutely the EP, executive producer, associate producer credits on the movie. So I really appreciate all the help, Scott. Let's talk a little bit about this, the Naval School of Aviation Safety. What is it? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so here in Pensacola, SAS, as we call it, School of Aviation Safety, kind of a continuing education organization here on Pensacola, right? You've heard from the Commodores, from Schools Command, all these folks that get people that are joining the Navy, the Marine Corps, Coast Guard right off the bat and going to learn their craft. Well, we actually get officers that are already out in the fleet and by fleet, you know, out in operational squadrons deploying, flying aircraft that are painted gray and in combat. So we get them back here, and our mission here is to educate aviation professionals at all levels, so from enlisted to officer to people going to command, to foster a culture that has safety intrinsically tied to our operations, right? So getting people smart on a safety management system so we can have them go out and be in those squadrons, be a part of those organizations so we can operate safely so we're always ready to answer the bell for the, you know, the President, Secretary of Defense, and have the Navy ready with aircraft ready, people ready. And then, you know, I'll pause there if you had a question on that, but, yeah, I'll give you a breakdown of the classes that we run.
So let's just try to give people just kind of a picture of the thing. So as you were saying, they come through the various processes at NES Pensacola, at Whiting or Corpus, depending on whether they fly fixed wings or whether they fly helos. They go to other schools, sometimes here, sometimes elsewhere, and eventually they wind up on a big gray boat. And when they're doing that, they're learning how to be a pilot and be a member of a squadron and take on responsibilities. At some point thereafter, a couple of years in, maybe not quite that long, you tell me, then they would come back to NAS Pensacola for training in aviation safety to become a safety officer, right?
That's correct. So very unique about School of Aviation Safety and the command I'm running here is we are, and I've thought about this and try to think back. Red Man, who you talked to, who's a commanding officer of Schools Command, probably a mirror image of me in terms of an organization that has a touch point with every single Navy and Marine Corps squadron worldwide, right? Now, the difference is Schools Command, you don't know what touch point you have because you're starting out, you're learning, and off you go. Here, so we get people that are, every squadron out there has an aviation safety officer. That's kind of lieutenant level, so after, 6 to 8 years in the Navy, or lieutenant commander level, someone going to department head. They come through our aviation safety officer course because every squadron has to have an aviation safety officer. That person is in charge in their squadron for running safety management system, being trained up with human factors, aerodynamics, reporting. So if there's even a near miss, how do we report that so we can track hazards, identify hazards, get that word out to everybody else? And, God forbid, if there is a mishap, an aircraft mishap, then that person is tasked to lead the investigation on that mishap so we can learn lessons and then not repeat those mistakes in the future. In addition, if you're going to go to command of a squadron, so that's at the commander, the O5, or for the Marines, lieutenant colonel level, you come through a one-week course. So the ASO course, the safety officer course, is about 4 weeks. The commander's course is 1 week. And so like me, for example, I was never an ASO for my squadron. It's one person out of, 20 to 30 to even 60 in a squadron, you have one ASO. So I was never chosen to go be an ASO. But when I had command of a squadron, I was going through the training pipeline. 1 week was here in Pensacola going through the Aviation Safety Commander's course. So that gives the commanders a top-level view of the programs that they're in charge of and that they got to monitor and what their aviation safety officer is going to do for them. Additionally, a third class that we run, and we do about 11 a year, is a crew resource management instructor course. We train up crew resource management instructors. Those are the folks that go out to the fleet and then run their different aircraft, their platforms, and their crews of how do we talk to each other in an aircraft? How do we communicate? How do we get through barriers, whether that's leadership, experience, knowledge, so that if you and I are flying together and you're sitting there relying on my experience in an airplane, but you see something maybe going wrong or you have a question, but you might be hesitant to say, hey, Mongo, what is, this going on? So we talk about crew resource management so we can really effectively fight in these aircraft when we're out there.
As you may suspect, communication between the planes and the ship, pretty important part of not just operations, but safety, right? Making sure that everybody understands everything that's happening. We sometimes talk about like the Blue Angels having all of their communication, their cadence and their rhythm and their way they communicate to each other, anything that might be awry. Same thing for you guys, even more so because you're in, non-standard, non-planned, maybe military operations. Communication is everything. We're talking to Captain Scott Janik. He's commanding officer of Naval School of Aviation, or SAS, as they call it. That's the acronym there. We'll be back to him in just a second. Right now we've got traffic on the fives with John Pickens. John?
If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're starting to get the backups there. So plan about a 10-minute extra to get you through that area. Other than that, traffic's rolling good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're just tuning in this morning, some of those sounds that you're hearing in the background, the clanking and banging, is because every single door on the ship, the USS Richard McCool, and we are on the ship. This is a broadcast originating at a boat at sea in the Gulf heading over to Pensacola. It's an amazing thing. And that's people going in and out of doors, clanking, and we're right by the bridge. So, in fact, right behind me, behind my back, is the wall on the other side of which is the bridge where they're, you know, driving the ship. So that's why you hear all that sound in the background. Meanwhile, in Pensacola, on land, probably the first time ever that a landlubber like me is on the ship interviewing a seaman like Captain Jaddick on the land. He is the commanding officer of Naval School of Aviation Safety. Scott, I kind of interrupted you. You were about to say a third course or either a fourth course, I forget, that you also conduct at SAS.
Yeah, a fourth course, which we do. This is online, so you have to be an aviation safety officer graduate, but we do an aviation safety manager course. Once a year online, and that is for people going to major staffs or aviation safety officers or even carriers or ships that have squadrons on them to give them some of those different policies, procedures that they have to follow to run those major staffs. So all told, our schoolhouse, we have 26 military, Navy, Marine, and then government civilian employees. 26 of us run the schoolhouse, and we have a student throughput of around 1,200 a year. And then I was talking about the crew resource management instructors. They also go out and assess fleet-wide, all the Navy and Marine Corps squadrons, they assess their crew resource management programs. So they go out and do assessments. So a lot of travel there. But, yeah, you brought up the Blue Angels, and that's a great point there, Andrew. And a lot of times people can kind of scratch their head about that communication and crew resource management. You think of crew, and you just think of people being together in one aircraft. But the Blues are a great example of, here you got six pilots, they're in different airplanes, but yeah, that communication, how they talk to each other, one word here or there, and the impact that can have on the understanding of what's going on with the whole formation.
Absolutely. I wanted to focus on the investigation side because when I came and, you know, you were so gracious to show me around the facility where you're the CO and where you do the in-classroom training because, you know, if you're walking down the hallway at SAS, you peek your head in one room and you're going to see, you know, 50 green jumpsuits all sitting there learning lessons on aviation safety. And you showed me some of the resource areas that you have, and one of the rooms you have is, you know, there's just no good way to say it. It's full of mangled metal. It's, you know, mishaps produce physical data, and part of the job of the SAS, the aviation safety officers, is to investigate mishaps and look at what was the cause and figure out from the available data what happened, and that sometimes means some, you know, you're dealing with some pretty serious problems, right?
No, absolutely, and we do have the, and I call it an honor, you know, we treat these things as a, some of them are a final resting place for some of our fellow warriors, but we have mishap aircraft as well as a parts lab, and to your point, exactly, there are pieces that were, you know, broken or in a crash. But we use those to show for our learning for our students to see if there is an accident, how you can actually look at the parts, and that can tell the story of what happened. You know, were things spinning at the time or were they not spinning? What was operating? As well as using those as lessons to teach from and go forth in their role as an ASO to use those as examples to show people what to not do, right? And to really run
hey, Scott,
that.
Hey, Scott, hang on for just a sec. Okay. Hey, Scott, can you hang on for just a second? We got kind of a rare honor. The captain is getting ready to go on the bridge. His job is to sit in the bridge and drive the ship and make sure everybody knows what they're doing. But I did want him to just say hello to everybody for a second. Speak right into that microphone. How you doing, well, Captain Baker?
Hey, I'm doing well. We're ship's ready to get pulled into Pensacola and start the week. We're couldn't be honored. It's a great privilege, and just look forward to getting in.
Thank you for having us on your home, and thanks for letting us do this, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate all the support of you all and the local press and really the whole community. So we look forward to getting there. We'll be there in a few hours.
All right. I knew that the captain was going to be not really available for time this morning, but I did want to at least catch him and have him say hi to y'all. He has been a fantastic host for us here on board the Richard McCool. Back to Scott Jaddick. Sorry, Scott, to interrupt you. But, you know, captain and a captain, you understand.
Oh yeah, when Captain Baker shows up, you go all stop, right? No, it's good, and I know we're looking forward to meeting him. Pensacola's looking forward to having him at McCool. It's a little bit of nostalgia for me. My dad was a surface warfare in the Navy on an amphibious ship, a landing ship tank, which is no longer in service.
Oh,
but that,
okay.
that was similar. But that ship had a big ramp on the front that it could pull, about a 600-foot ship, and it would pull up carrying Marines, tanks, trucks.
Yeah.
And the big ramp would drop on the bow so that they could drive off onto the beach. So it's kind of neat seeing seeing the Gator Navy and you getting a touch on it out there. Shout out
absolutely.
To Mel, as you guys have Reveille and you're up and at them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so go ahead.
No, that's I just you know we're running totally out of time, and I just wanted to make sure if there was any final thing. We got about a minute left. If there was any last thing that you wanted to let people know about before we let you go this morning, because your command is it's so important because that's what keeps safety. That's what keeps the pilots alive, keeps the planes in appropriate order, and it's a crucial command that's based here in Pensacola.
No, absolutely, and there's so many ties over to just. Regular life and what other people do in industry. I've sat there and had talks with people, whether it's American Magic or the hospitals, and maybe they're talking a sailing boat or they're talking a patient, but really people working together to get something done and making sure it's done effectively. In our case, it's warfighting mission effectiveness. We need to make sure that we are preserving our assets and our people so that we can continually answer the bell when it's rung, and we need to answer it, just like you're seeing firsthand out there with those fine shipmates of ours on the McCool, getting that ship ready to get commissioned. But yeah, just a neat aspect of Pensacola here, and again, as you're doing the series, hopefully the people of Pensacola are really enjoying learning, really the volume of training that goes on in this greater Pensacola area for Navy, Marine Corps, and a bunch of other our services. We also do, real quick, we do a international class once a year, so a bunch of our international partners come. To learn similar stuff that we're teaching, shorter classes, because we don't have to get into a lot of the U.S. policy or requirements that we have with them. But a real neat treat to be here. And being here since 2018 and really seeing the ties here with the Navy and Pensacola, it's just been a real treat.
Yeah, and I know you spent more of your career in Pensacola than not, and I just think that's cool, all the different things you've done, from being the Commodore at Training Air Wing 6, and just all of it is very impressive. Captain Scott Janik, call sign Mongo. He is the commanding officer of Naval School of Aviation Safety, SAS, a dear friend, somebody who made this whole series possible and continues to help me produce it. Mongo, I'll talk to you again soon, man. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do.
All right, enjoy that salt air, Andrew. Have a good time.
All right, back to John Pickens. We are on board the Richard McCool in the Gulf, headed toward Pensacola. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Taking a look at your traffic on the fives right now. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound, I'd say just south of the or east of the Pine Forest exit, we're experiencing about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. No accidents to let you know about. If you're on Highway 29 right around the I-10 area, north or south of it, we're seeing some delays there, just heavy volumes of traffic. Other than that, everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you've got a business, you've got employees, at least if it's growing, you do. And dealing with employees is great, but you also want to make sure that you don't have to frustrate yourself with the headaches of business ownership, like payroll, like human resources, like dental insurance, vision, life, disability, health, all of that stuff. And look, if me talking about that stuff is like, for you, you just gets you nervous and upset and you don't want to think about it and your eye twitches, like, I'm sorry, but that means you should do something different. And if it doesn't, if you're super happy, then great, ignore me for a second. But if there are issues, or maybe you just want to find out if there's a better way to do it, call Torgerson Causey. They're a locally owned and operated comprehensive employee benefits agency. We've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 7 years now, and they made a tremendous improvement for me and my family over what we had before. Better customer service, better answers, choices in plans that we didn't have before. All around, they're fantastic. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hi neighbors, this is Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Thank you for having faith in me and showing your support during this primary election. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships to ensure that we have a professional and productive board. Let's move forward. The future is bright for Santa Rosa County.
Hey, so we are on board the Richard McCool traveling in the Gulf toward Pensacola. Somebody says, I can't believe you just called them jumpsuits instead of flight suits. They call them pajamas. What do you want me to say? Y'all know I was never in the Navy. I do my best to get it right. I apologize when I get it wrong, but I hope you learned something from the process. We'll be back with more coming up next.